Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands of people are logging on to that site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Last week, we were studying Luke chapter 9 and verses 28 to 36. This is Luke's record of the transfiguration of Jesus. The title of our study was The Path to True Glory. Now, right away, that title alerts us to something. If there is a true glory, then there must also be a false glory. And so there is. False glory is the kind of glory the world pursues. To these people, glory comes by pride, it comes by getting, by ruling over others, or by profiting, even at the expense of others. But that's a glory that ends when physical life ends. In contrast, Jesus offers you and me eternal glory, true glory. As we started looking at the path to true glory last week, I stated that our text outlined several steps that enabled us to progress on that path. The first step was communion with the Father. The setting for Jesus' transfiguration was that he was spending the night in prayer. He was in communion with his Heavenly Father. If that was an important step for Jesus, it is certainly important for you and me. Now, in just a few moments, we'll pick up our study where we left off last week. Now, listen carefully as I read our text, Luke chapter 9 and verses 28 to 36. That's Luke 9, 28 to 36. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. The second step on the path to true glory is confirmation of the Scriptures. As Jesus was praying, he was joined by two men, Moses and Elijah. The text tells us they talked with Jesus about the upcoming events of his death. Moses, of course, represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. Both of these men, and the eras they represent, spoke prophetically about the coming of Jesus and his sacrifice for sin. You may recall, after the resurrection, when Jesus was talking to the two men on the Emmaus Road, he opened their understanding of the Scriptures. How? By beginning with Moses and all the prophets. That's Luke 24 and verse 27. God revealed the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. In that law, he revealed himself as a holy God, and he set certain conditions that one must meet in order to approach him. Those who tried to meet God on their own terms, like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, perished. God promised that if the people obeyed him, he would bless them in every way. Conversely, if they refused to obey him, he would curse them in every way. Because of these realities and his understanding of human weakness, he warned the people not to make a covenant with him lightly. Elijah, as I said, represents the prophets. The prophet Isaiah predicted that a Redeemer would come. A suffering servant would be introduced to the people. He would be put to death for sins that were not his own. After suffering, he would be exalted very high and offer salvation to all peoples of the world. Daniel foretold the timing of Jesus' suffering and death, using the command to rebuild the temple as his starting point. Micah predicted Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Zechariah prophesied that his body would be pierced, but David revealed that not one of his bones would be broken. Malachi promised that the Lord whom they were seeking would suddenly come to his temple, and that the Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in his wings. So we may ask ourselves, what's the significance of all of these prophecies? And what do they have to do with this scene from the Transfiguration? For one thing, the scriptures say repeatedly that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. In this setting, we have both the law and the prophets attesting the fact that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the prophecies about Messiah. Every prophecy given under the Old Covenant that was made concerning Jesus was fulfilled in minute detail, and that established his credibility and his authenticity. And what were Moses and Elijah talking about with Jesus? The King James Version says they were talking about his decease, his departure. The Greek word is exodus. The Greek prefix ech, meaning out of, coupled with hadas, meaning journey. They were talking about Jesus' journey out of this life, his crucifixion in Jerusalem. You know, I can only imagine the anticipation Moses and Elijah must have had as they talked with Jesus about these upcoming events. You'll recall the exodus of the children of Israel being led out of Egypt by Moses was a type of Christ as the deliverer of his children from the bondage of sin. The blood of the slain lamb that was smeared on the doorposts and lintel on that very first Passover night in Egypt pointed forward to Jesus, the final Passover lamb. His blood, applied by faith to the hearts of men and women, would satisfy God's wrath against sin and cause the destroying angel to pass over. Now, while all of this was happening, Peter, John, and James were sleeping. Now, let's not be too hard on them. We remember that men accustomed to living much of life in the outdoors will respond predictably. Luke says they were heavy with sleep. Literally, their eyelids were weighted or pressed down. And yes, how often has that happened when we were intending to be in prayer? As Jesus, Moses, and Elijah are conversing, the three disciples begin to wake up. When they are fully awake, they saw, literally, they stared at, Jesus in his glory, accompanied by Moses and Elijah. As they were watching, Moses and Elijah began to leave, and as they're going, Peter speaks up, "Rabbi, it's good, comforting, affirming that we should be here. Let's make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now, like most of us, when awakened suddenly from sleep, Peter most likely didn't have time to think through the words he spoke. He just blurted out the first thing that came to his mind. It does seem that he wanted to preserve the moment, and I certainly can't fault him for that. Now, it's true the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was soon to be celebrated. Why is that significant, and what do Peter's words have to do with that feast? The Feast of Tabernacles, or Feast of Booths, as it's sometimes called, was commanded by God in Leviticus chapter 23. It was established to remind the children of Israel of their wanderings in the wilderness after their exodus from Egypt, how God provided daily manna for their food and prevented their clothes and their shoes from wearing out. God dwelt in the midst of his people in the tabernacle. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night assured the people of his continuing presence. We notice from the text that Peter was looking back. Jesus was looking ahead. The Feast of Tabernacles, as Peter understood it and observed it, was about to be fulfilled. Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus about his exodus. Jesus was about to fulfill the types contained in the Feast of Tabernacles. He was about to become the living bread that would give men eternal life. Those who ate this bread would never die. Jesus taught the people at length on this subject in John chapter 6. Furthermore, he was about to provide for all true believers a robe of righteousness that would never grow old or wear out. The robe of righteousness provided by his sacrifice would allow every individual, not just the high priest, to enter into the very presence of God himself at any time, not just on the prescribed dates of the calendar. In fact, it would allow God himself to tabernacle or dwell within us by his Holy Spirit. That was a possibility Peter could not see at this point in time. And even today, we can only grasp the reality of it by faith. Peter, John, and James were being given a glimpse of the kingdom of God. They were seeing the glory promised to those who would lay down their lives to follow Christ and to proclaim his message. My friend, this second step on the path to true glory is confirmed over and over again in the scripture. It is a pathway of humility versus pride, of giving versus getting, of serving versus ruling, and of loss versus profit. It's a path that Jesus said is narrow, restricting, and hard to enter. Only a few will find it and follow it into the presence of the Father. So I ask you, are you allowing the Word of God to confirm your progress on the path to true glory? My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Path to True Glory. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this entire teaching, The Path to True Glory. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request your free copy of this teaching, The Path to True Glory, either in print or on an audio CD. And my email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Path to True Glory. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.